Lying can have a wide range of uses, nice ones like complimenting a friend's terrible cooking to really awful instances like Bernard Madoff's decades-long deceptions that destroyed many lives. How can we tell when we're being lied to? Well, in his new book called The Liar in Your Life, The Way to Truthful Relationships, psychologist Robert Feldman explains that lies happen all the time, and we often know that we're being lied to, and they often take a heavy toll. The book is published by 12. I'm very pleased that it brings Mr. Feldman, who is a professor at the University of Massachusetts, to our show today. Hello.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
I hope I didn't include any lies in that introduction.
I hope not.
You're right that when we meet someone for the first time, we lie about three times in about 10 minutes.
The average person does. Now, most of those lies are not terrible lies. They're things we say to basically smooth the social situation.
And ingratiate ourselves.
Yeah, I agree with you. You're right. You look terrific. Oh, I love that movie too. So in most cases, we're not doing this with anything other than benign intent.
But if a relationship continues, then it's been based on some lies. And how long do we have to sustain those? Will it affect the relationship later on?
I think all these lies eventually affect a relationship. It's a kind of slippery slope in which we start off with these benign kinds of lies, and it becomes easier and easier to lie to other people.
Well, were the participants in your study always aware of when they were lying?
Not at all.
Would they have called it lying?
No, not at all. It's a very interesting phenomenon. When we went back, we had people who were unacquainted talk to each other for 10 minutes, and then I said, okay, watch yourself. We videotaped you. Watch yourself and tell us any instances in which you were not entirely accurate. Invariably, people said, oh, I was totally accurate. I didn't lie. And then they'd watch and they'd listen. And they'd say, oh, well, that wasn't right, and that wasn't true. But
would they call it a lie or an inaccuracy?
Well, they would call it. They admitted eventually that they were lies. And, I mean, that's what a lie is, something that you don't believe. And the thing that was really interesting was that they were unaware of it when it happened, and afterwards they barely felt bad about it. They said, well, this is what everybody does.
Is this something that continues as a relationship goes on?
Well, I think, yes, certainly the social niceties continue, and depending on the kind of relationship, they can continue for a long period of time. Now, when we're in a relationship for a very long period of time, usually the lies decline, but when there are lies in long-term relationships, they do tend to be very large ones.
Because they're the ones that we feel are really going to mess up things if we tell the truth.
Yes, they're going to mess up the relationship, and they're going to be
They're going to know something about me that they shouldn't know, or I'm doing this secret thing.
Well, the ultimate thing is infidelity, when people that's the lie no one's going to admit to unless they're caught.
And I just read that more Americans consider infidelity a problem for marriage than sexual compatibility.
Well, I think that's a function of what's in the news. I mean, we see one instance after another of politicians who come forward and admit, almost always after they've been caught, that they have been unfaithful. So it's something that we see over and over in the public realm, and I think it creates a kind of expectation that infidelity is a major problem.
And the thing that is most shocking about those politicians is the hypocrisy of the whole thing, because they often are people who talk about not doing that sort of thing. Do you think that they think of themselves as honest, even though they are committing these kinds of lies?
I think people are very, very good at compartmentalizing their lives. And they say in most realms, I am a good person. I'm an honest person. There is this one aspect of my life that I am not so good at, and probably don't even feel that bad about it.
Well, I'm sure you couldn't have looked into his mind, but would Bernard Madoff have thought of himself as basically honest? Because I wonder about sociopaths. How did they judge themselves in this regard?
Well, I wouldn't want to say that he's necessarily a sociopath, but certainly Madoff is an example of someone who got caught up in lies, who started out in a small way and the lie began to snowball and eventually got out of control. I think he probably thought of himself as a good man, in the sense he was a family man, and people who knew him liked him very much. But ultimately, he created this set of circumstances that hurt many, many people. So, you know, is he sitting in jail right now and saying, well, I'm a terrible person? I'm not so sure.
Well, there's the other thing, those politicians who all called for Bill Clinton to be impeached, who then were engaged in some cases, a lot more complicated sexual activities. Do you think that we judge others more harshly than we judge ourselves?
Oh, I think we absolutely judge others in a way that we don't do with ourselves. We try to protect our view of ourselves. We want to think of ourselves as good people, as honest people. And so we don't always use the same standards with ourselves that we use with other people.
Is context important? Do we lie about different things depending on what we think other people want to hear?
Oh, definitely, definitely. I mean, people who are socially skilled know what the person they're talking to wants to hear. So there's a real temptation, if you are socially skilled, to tell others exactly what it is that they would like to hear about themselves. Now, again, this is certainly not something that we want to see in our society, but it's something that we accept and call them little white lies. My sense is that these lies in some ways are just as bad as bigger lies, because every lie does create an environment of distrust. And if you're the liar, you somehow feel sullied by that lie. And I think that's going to affect your relationship with other people.
So if you say to somebody, the meal was delicious when you thought it wasn't, then you're hurting people?
I think ultimately you're hurting.
You look great in that dress?
I think ultimately you're creating a situation which is based on some degree of deception. Now, is it terrible? Is it going to ruin the relationship ultimately? No. But I think it does make it easier for you to lie in the future.
We have the other side of that. All of those Dennis the Menace cartoons, which were based on him telling the truth, you know, you put on weight or whatever, and adults being horrified. And to some degree, we should be horrified, shouldn't we?
Well, we should be. I mean, one of the things we do as a society, which I think is very confusing for children, is we hold two standards. One is we say you should always be truthful. We talk about George Washington and Abraham Lincoln and never telling a lie. That's one standard. But on the other hand, we teach our kids that it's okay to lie in certain circumstances. So we tell them, grandma's coming over, she's going to bring you a gift, and you know, you really need to tell her that you like it. The message that we're giving our kids is that under some circumstances, it is appropriate to lie. And that's a very confusing kind of message.
So then kids lie, and we punish them for lying.
We punish them for lying, but
they're trying to get through.
But we also reward them for lying as well. And that is really a difficult situation to put anyone in. And it's not surprising that some kids learn the lesson more that it's okay to lie.
And some people, it becomes habitual, doesn't it? They lie even when they don't need to lie.
There are folks who do that. There are people who lie for sport. They get pleasure out of putting one over on someone else. There are people who, for a living, try to convince other people to buy their product. And it's a very fine line between persuasion and outright lying.
My guest is Robert Feldman, who is a professor of psychology at the University of Massachusetts. He's written a book called The Liar in Your Life, The Way to Truthful Relationships. It's published by 12. Are humans the only animals that lie?
Oh, no. No, there are examples throughout the animal world that of animals lying, starting off with animals that camouflage themselves to there are fireflies who emit certain kinds of signals to attract other fireflies of different species and then end up eating them. And the primates are full of examples of apes that will try to entice females and to hide food from one another. So we are certainly not the only ones who engage in deception. We're probably the ones who are best at it.
Because we use words.
We use words, and we can be more deceptive. We think more.
And there's this odd situation where we kind of know when another person's lying, and yet we don't really challenge it.
We are often very receptive to other people's lies, and in fact, actually welcome them. There's something I call the liar's advantage that I talk about in the book, which is that we are ready to accept other people's lies because very often they tell us things that we want to hear. And so we don't try very hard to ferret out the truth.
We also do physical things that reveal that we're lying, don't we? My brother used to joke that anytime Lyndon Johnson was lying, he raised his eyebrows. And this became a joke between us because I'd say something to him and he'd say, Leonard, you're raising your eyebrows right now.
Well, you know, the truth is that probably Johnson raised his eyebrows at other times as well when he wasn't lying. There are very few one-to-one nonverbal behaviors corresponding to lies. Sometimes those nonverbal behaviors that we think are related to lies are just that the person is anxious or fearful. So we, as human beings, most of us are very bad at detecting when other people are lying. One of the reasons is we just don't get a chance to judge whether we're right or wrong, because most of the time we just don't get validation for what we think are the nonverbal cues.
Well, there are always those jokes about how do you tell when a lawyer is lying or a politician is lying or whoever you want to go after, and it's whenever they're moving their lips.
Yes, exactly.
But I would assume that the most successful people are the people who lie the most effectively.
Well, actually, there is research showing that the people who are most popular and the most socially skilled are the best at lying. And that's because most of the time we don't want to hear the truth. If you think about someone who is always telling you the truth 100% of the time, that person is blunt, is seen as someone who is not someone that we want in our lives. So in fact, we very often welcome these lies.
Well, what do people tell you if you ask them if they're lying, especially the ones who are successful?
They say they're not lying. They're good liars. They can get away.
They lie about lying.
They lie about lying, so they can get away with it. But I do think that ultimately it's a good idea to try and demand the truth from the people in our lives, because if we're going to get any kind of reasonable kind of feedback about who we are and what our capabilities are, we need people to tell us the truth.
Well, yes, it would be good if politicians did tell us the truth. The reason we are going into this war is whatever we discover 20 years down the line, rather than what we're being told at the moment. But in the end, they wouldn't get their way. We wouldn't go into that war.
No, and look where these wars have gotten us. So it's clear that that we should be asking people for the truth and demanding the truth.
When you ask someone to remember the last time he or she was lied to, what kinds of things do they remember?
Oh, they remember very conspicuous sorts of things. You know, someone conning them out of some money or cheating at a game of poker. But that is probably, almost surely, not the last time they were lied to, because we are exposed to these lies all the time. We just don't attend to them and don't want to attend to them, because, I mean, partially it's a lot of work to be thinking about if someone is being truthful or lying to you all the time.
Also, isn't there the embarrassment of being gullible?
Oh, absolutely. We don't.
I mean, if
want
somebody to tells you you look great, and you don't feel like you're looking all that great. On the one hand, we want to believe that it's true, don't we?
We absolutely want to believe it's true, and that's one of the most common kinds of instances.
Haven't you lost weight? I've been asked that so many times.
And,
well,
what do you say?
In some cases, well, not recently. I mean, I haven't put on weight either, but I'm pretty constant. But I think it's a way of saying to somebody, you're looking good right now, or just making them feel good about themselves.
Exactly. I mean, the most common kind of lie, I think, is when someone says, how you doing? And you say, fine. When you may
That's
not
always
fine,
a lie.
It almost always is a lie. But the reality is the person asking the question really doesn't want the true response.
Is there a typical reaction when people discover that they have been lied to, when it's a big lie?
Oh, they're angry. They're upset. They dislike the person who lied to them. And I've actually done some research on this. People tend then to lie back to the person who lied to them. So there's this real sequence. You find out that someone has lied to you. It opens the conversation to you lying back to them. It's a kind of
Can you give me an example?
If I find out you've exaggerated your credentials in some way, or that you've gotten a better golf score than you told me that you did, I will feel fine about exaggerating my credentials and exaggerating my golf score.
You start your book by discussing Richard Nixon's lies during Watergate. Did that scandal change our society's attitudes about lying?
I think that was the beginning of it. I think actually the event that really changed things was the whole Clinton-Lewinsky situation, in which we had circumstances in which Clinton obviously lied, and he was caught. But ultimately, the message here is that he was redeemed. He remains one of our most popular politicians today. And so if you're watching this unfold, the message that you get is that, well, people lie, very, very powerful role models lie, and ultimately they may be caught, but at the end of the day, they're forgiven.
Isn't part of the difference between Nixon and Clinton that Nixon was lying about orchestrating a break-in for political reasons, and Bill Clinton was lying about whether he'd had sex or whatever, however he defines sex with Monica Lewinsky and a number of other women?
Well, it's certainly, I mean, they're different kinds of lies, and one has to do much more with the job of being president and the other doesn't. But still, I would contend that taken together, both of those events really led to a kind of ease for which people can lie. It's much easier now in today's world than it was, say, 20 or 30 or 40 years ago.
Do people who are depressed lie differently than people who are in good spirits?
People who are depressed do lie differently. They often have very low self-esteem, and so they're more willing to certainly accept the lies of other people. They're less willing to listen to positive kinds of lies. They would like to hear negative things about themselves, whereas other people are with higher self-esteem are much more likely to accept the positive kinds of lies.
Why do you say that we're becoming more tolerant of lies? Were we ever intolerant of lies?
I think we're on a general level, the norm is that lying is bad. But I think specifically on a day-to-day basis, I think as I was saying about the Clinton situation, I think we're more accepting of those lies just because we see it so often. There is, I mean, right now we see one politician after another politician coming forward and confessing his or her, well, it's usually his sins. And that really creates, I think, a norm of tolerance.
Robert Feldman, his book, The Liar in Your Life, The Way to Truthful Relationships, it's published by 12. And Professor Feldman, do you think I've been lying to you during this interview?
I sure hope not. But I'm willing to accept those lies.
The big problem is there's no way to know whether any of those stories I told you about myself are true.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for being with us today. It's been a lot of fun, and I'm really not lying about that.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed it too, honestly.
On tomorrow's show, we get a comprehensive history of the decades-long war over Kashmir between India and Pakistan, and then take a look at peculiar medical techniques and things you never knew could happen to your body, like mushrooms growing in the throat. Also, the director of the Neue Galerie Museum for Austrian and German Art on its two new exhibitions, plus the Washington Post lead political reporter Dan Balls and Pulitzer Prize-winning author Haynes Johnson look back at the 2008 presidential campaign. The Leonard Lopate Show is produced by Blake D. Schick, Stephen Valentino, and Julia Corcoran. Melissa Egan is the executive producer, and we had help today from Alex Conrad, Natalie Pano, Angela Sheldon, and Nicole Silbersack. Debbie Fountain was at the audio controls. I'm Leonard Lopate, your host. Thanks for listening. We will see you tomorrow.